From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Victor Beatty reporting there was no movement of civilians in or out or humanitarian aid to the embattled eastern Ghouta of Syria Wednesday, despite a Russian-backed daily five-hour humanitarian pause and corridors. Russian President Vladimir Putin said with Turkey's cooperation, quite a large group of those who wanted to leave were successfully evacuated. A second group, he said, was prevented from doing so by militants. Hundreds have died in nearly 2 weeks of heavy bombardment at the last major rebel stronghold near the Syrian capital. A UN Security Council resolution Saturday demanded a 30-day ceasefire, but has not been implemented. The U.S. Deputy Ambassador Kelly Curry told the council that while the rebels have agreed to allow aid in, the Bashar al-Assad regime has said no. She took aim at Russia's humanitarian pause.
This is cynical, callous, and in flagrant defiance of the demands of 2401. Russia does not get to unilaterally rewrite the terms of the resolution they negotiated and they sat here and voted for.
Syria's ambassador shot back.
Say the race.
Bashar Jafri blamed terrorists for launching hundreds of missiles into Damascus, causing hundreds of casualties. Meanwhile, in Geneva, the U.S. accused Russia of violating its duty to rid Syria of chemical weapons. Syria denies it's used such weapons against rebel-held areas. Unidentified attackers killed a U.N. Children's Agency employee and five education workers in an attack in Central African Republic. The U.N. agency released details Wednesday about Sunday's attack in the northeast town of Markunda, near Chad. All six were CAR citizens. UNICEF condemned what it called the senseless act against aid workers trying to improve the lives of the most vulnerable populations. This is VOA News. Afghan President Ashraf Ghani Wednesday offered recognition to the Taliban insurgency as a political group, part of a proposed political process to end the country's 16-year conflict.
Extending an offer of peace to the Taliban is nothing new. I mean, the Afghan government has tried that in the past. But in this case, President Ghani has made so many extraordinarily generous concessions, or he's offered so many concessions, I think in many ways unprecedented.
Michael Kugelman of the Wilson Center in Washington. Mr. Ghani's offer came during an international conference in Kabul aimed at creating the atmosphere for peace talks. The Afghan leader said with a truce, prisoners could be released, new elections held, and the constitution reviewed. The Taliban has offered to be in talks with the U.S., but so far refused direct talks with Kabul. A suicide bomb attack near Pakistan's southwest city of Quetta Wednesday killed four paramilitary soldiers. Gunmen also opened fire on a police convoy, killing two guards. The attacks were the work of the Pakistani Taliban, who claimed responsibility. The International Olympic Committee has reinstated Russia's membership after suspending it over state-sponsored doping allegations. Still, more than 160 Russians were able to compete at the just-concluded Winter Olympics in South Korea, although two tested positive for banned substances during the competition. President Vladimir Putin, greeting the Olympians, presented them state awards and praised them for withstanding sports, strain, and tensions with dignity. Meanwhile, the chief executive of the U.S. Olympic Committee, Scott Blackmun, resigned in the wake of the sex abuse scandal that involved a former USA gymnastics doctor, Larry Nassar. President Donald Trump Wednesday led dignitaries in honoring the late American evangelist Billy Graham, whose body lays in honor at the U.S. Capitol Rotunda following his death last week at age 99.
Everywhere he went, Reverend Graham delivered the same beautiful message. God loves you. That was his message. God loves you.
Graham, known as America's pastor, was sought out for counsel by several presidents spanning 70 years and reached hundreds of millions worldwide with a Christian message. Mr. Trump is to attend the Graham funeral in Charlotte, North Carolina, Friday. In Egypt, a passenger train collided with a freight train Wednesday, killing at least 10 people. It's the latest in a string of deadly crashes. More than 40 were killed in a train accident near the coastal city Alexandria. Last August, more than 50 died in the collision of two commuter trains near Cairo in 2016. U.S. economic growth slowed slightly in the fourth quarter of 2017 to 2.5%, a revised figure from the initial 2.6%, following a 3.2% expansion in the third quarter. On Wall Street Wednesday, stocks fell, with investors fretting over how many interest rate hikes will take place that will put a further drag on the economy. The benchmark Dow Jones shedding nearly 400 points. I'm Victor Beatty, VOA News.
That's the latest world news from VOA.
We'll be right back.
Good morning, Africa. Welcome to Daybreak Africa from the Voice of America. I'm James Bote, Washington. Today is Thursday, the first day of March. And here are some of the stories we are covering. Nigeria's ruling APC party endorses President Buhari for a second term. But the opposition PDP says the president stands no chance in next year's election.
I am a great critic of the president. And I said it severally that the president does not have the mental capacity and physical ability to run the affairs of a 180 million population of Nigeria.
Peter Ayodele Fayose is chairman of the PDP Governors Forum. We'll speak with a musician and supporter of Sierra Leone's ruling APC party ahead of the March 7th election. Nigeria this week released two Cameroon separatist leaders. We'll get an update on the crisis in Cameroon. And South Sudan accuses Troika countries of seeking the removal of President Salva Kiir.
There is no way someone would come to me from Troika and tell me that I understand your problem better than you. I'm ready to solve your problem better than you. So we need to believe in ourselves and trust in ourselves.
Michael Makuei, South Sudan's information minister, Uganda launches an inquiry into a wave of cyber crimes targeting mobile phone users. And the UN needs $278 million to fight violence and global human rights abuses. Those stories, plus our listener of the day, are coming up on Daybreak Africa. Nigeria's ruling All Progressives Congress, APC party, has reportedly endorsed President Muhammadu Buhari to run for re-election in 2019. Mr. Buhari, who is 75 years old and has had a number of health-related problems, has not said he would like to seek re-election, but the party's National Executive Committee on Wednesday approved a one-year extension of all party executives, including President Buhari. Peter Ayodele Fayose is chairman of the main opposition People's Democratic Party, the PDP Governors Forum. He says President Buhari no longer has the mental capacity and physical ability to lead the country. In addition, Fayose says the APC under President Buhari has failed Nigeria on the economy, the fight against Boko Haram, and corruption.
Let me say to you, it is their right to endorse Buhari because he's a member of their party. But I just want to make it very clear to you that Buhari will not return as president of Nigeria for his failure to keep Nigeria together. He promised to fight insurgents in Nigeria, which includes Boko Haram, Fulani herdsmen, killing, and all sorts of killings going on in Nigeria. And to fight corruption, these were the legs the president stood upon to ask for Nigerians to vote for him in 2015. The president has failed on all legs. One, recently, Transparency International said the president's administration is the most corrupt and that corruption has grown to its peak under his watch as president of Nigeria. The president is rather fighting opposition figures rather than fight corruption.
You said a number of things. Let's talk first about the failure of the government to fight insurgency. Recently, when you talk to the government people, they tell you they have displaced Boko Haram. They have made headways on Boko Haram.
May I just use, sir, when you are making progress, when you have defeated Boko Haram, then who now took away the pupils in Dapchi? Who killed the people in Benue? Who killed the people in Taraba? Who are the killers of the people, the mass killing going on in the country, Nigeria? So if you have won a battle, how come all these killings every day? So we will match action with words.
It seems to me every day you turn to the webpage of the Anti-Corruption Commission, you see the commission is going after some people for corruption. But you say that the government has failed to fight corruption, the APC government. Is that a true comment?
Now, can I say to you very quickly, and this is not coming from me, this is coming from Transparency International. And is it in Transparency International's words, corrupt military officers have been able to benefit from the conflict through the creation of fake defense contracts, the proceeds of which are often laundered abroad in UK, US, and elsewhere. What I'm trying to say to you clearly is that this government is doing nothing about this. The military officials in this country, the security officials, are making money out of the confusion, out of the fight And this is being the position of international agencies telling the federal government under the APC they are achieving nothing.
The elections are coming up in February next year, 2019. How ready would the PDP be?
Let me say to you first, there's an election coming up in my state, July 14th, which is the election coming up in my state, Ekiti State in Nigeria. I'm the current governor, Ayo Fayoshe. Now, my government will be coming to an end in October, middle October. So there's an election coming up here. I am fully prepared. I will defeat APC in my state any day, any time. And I'm telling you, I'm going to trust them. If APC does not win election in this country, Buhari cannot win an election in this country anymore. People are disappointed.
President Buhari is 75 years old. In the first year of his administration, he had not been feeling well. He has not said also that he will seek re-election, although the party would like to endorse him. Do you think the president's health should be a factor should he decide to run?
Listen, let me say to you, I am a great critic of the president. And I said it severally, that the president does not have the mental capacity and physical ability to run the affairs of a 180 million population of Nigeria. A good number of last year, the president was away out of his country on his sick bed abroad. And we should we will recycle these old people forever? Don't we have able bodies in this country that can lead Nigeria?
Peter Ayodele Fayoshe is chairman of the opposition PDP Governors Forum of Nigeria. He was speaking with me from the Ekiti state capital, Ado Ekiti. Sierra Leoneans will go to the polls next Wednesday to elect a successor to President Ernest Bai Koroma. Yesterday, the ruling All People's Congress Party, the APC, held its final campaign rally in the capital, Freetown. VOA's Peter Clotte is covering the election and spoke with Amindu Bangura, a musician and supporter of the APC. Bangura tells Peter Clotte he uses his musical talents to explain to all Sierra Leoneans of all political backgrounds the importance of voting.
I always vote for education and sleep because to educate our people who don't know how to vote. I do it out of my own conscience because I'm a singer. I do this song for educate people, say that their vote is their right. That's why I decide to take these risks to sensitize people and during this campaigning time, during this rally time, to host my party.
So why APC?
No, because presently, it's my own party, but I suppose if I get the chance, I will do it every day for meet up the election. But I don't have any sponsor to sponsor me, to give me megaphone, to pass house to house, to go and do this sensitization. Not for APC only, but to sensitize another people, to know that their vote is their right, and let them vote peacefully and do the correct thing in the voting slip. So when we vote, we sensitize people to know how to vote, and we are not going to have a tumult of red votes. That's why I take these risks. I don't follow dance. I don't follow a crowd. I just believe that I'm going to let me just take this risk to go and sensitize our people to know how to vote for a word vote.
So why are you wearing Dr. Samura Kamara? Why are you wearing his shirt while you go about educating people?
Because it's my own experience. Because I believe in him. I believe in him that we bring changes in this country. It will do more than President Koroma. That's why I support him. Never mind, I do a sensitization song for sensitized people, but everybody, I'm an artist, but everybody owns his own party. But as for me, I'm not going to hide behind my finger. APC is my party. Dr. Samura is the right candidate for we.
Well, what makes you confident that he will be able to deliver the goods? Because some of the opposition parties are saying he's been in government for so long, his policies that he supported, the policies that he helped generate, have failed the people of Sierra Leone.
That is their own opinion. As for me, I believe in him because he served this nation in, let me say, in three political parties. He served in the MPRC. He served in the SLPP. He did well. Now he served in APC party. So he proved well.
There has been an issue of violence carried out by members or supporters of the APC. Why?
I don't believe that APC supporter will go out and beat somebody like that. But I believe in APC. We the supporter, we don't condone violence. You understand? We don't condone violence. We don't depend on violence. Some people use our polo, use our party color to come to our rally and do something different towards another people to say, hey, everybody will stay in APC because they saw you with the polo. But we, APC supporters, we don't believe in violence. We believe in peaceful election, demonstrate peacefully, we do everything peacefully. We don't believe in violence.
Amidou Bangoura is a musician and supporter of Sierra Leone's ruling APC party. He spoke with viewers Peter Clotty, who is in Freetown, covering that country's upcoming March 7th presidential election. You're listening to Daybreak Africa on the Voice of America. I'm James Butte in Washington. Today is Thursday, March 1st. Daybreak Africa time is coming up at 16 minutes past the hour. South Sudan's information minister has lashed out at the United States, the United Kingdom, and Norway, as well as other European countries, accusing them of having vested interests in South Sudan's peace process. Michael McQuay says the group, also known as the Troika, is using the regional bloc IGAD to seek the removal of President Salva Kiir. Dimo Silva Aurelio reports from Juba.
Michael McQuay told reporters gathered at a news conference in Juba that IGAD is not in control of the high-level revitalization forum in Addis Ababa. He accused the Troika and the EU of using the IGAD to try to achieve what he calls regime change in South Sudan. McQuay says South Sudan's government thinks IGAD is not in the driver's seat at the forum and accused the regional bloc of implementing Troika's and EU's agenda.
Troika and EU are the ones funding the peace process, and as such, they are the ones on the driving seat, because he who pays the piper calls the tune. They are the ones calling the tune, and even this document, which widened the gap, this zero draft which was given to us, was imposed on the mediation, because the Troika, of course, and the European Union, they have their own agenda.
McQuay, who has been sanctioned by the United States and EU, calls any proposal at the high-level revitalization forum, which considers the removal of President Salva Kiir, a non-starter. He also claims South Sudanese leaders understand the country's problems better than outsiders and should be left to resolve them.
Even though there are people who claim over there that are more concerned about the lives and the livelihoods of the people of South Sudan, this is not correct. There is no way someone would come to me from Troika and tell me that I understand your problem better than me, but than you, I'm ready to solve your problem better than you. So we need to believe in ourselves and trust in ourselves, other than trusting others and believing that these are the people who will bring us salvation. The Troika and the EU are not just supporting opposition because they like them, but they want them to dance to their tune. And if you don't dance to their tune, then you are a bad element. And this is why they declared President Salva to be an unfit partner, because he did not accept what they want.
McQuay's latest attack on Troika and EU is a violation of the cessation of hostilities agreement signed in December. Article 4, subsection 3 of the cessation of hostilities agreement states that, quote, the parties shall not carry out unwarranted verbal attacks or any physical attacks against the citizen, JEMEC, IGAD, AU, UN, or any other entity associated with the implementation of this agreement. McQuay also says the Kiir administration rejects an IGAD proposal of having four vice presidents in a transitional government and a proposal to dissolve certain government institutions and establish new ones.
South Sudan is not a test case whereby you bring any new principle, you come and test it here. South Sudan is not a company, so that the power sharing is 51-49%. South Sudan is a sovereign state, and it has the right to decide on its own issues. The people of South Sudan are the ones who decide for themselves. Nobody from outside will ever come and impose on us whatever he thinks or whatever he has in mind.
The information minister also lashed out at South Sudanese citizens who criticized the government for not reaching a final deal during the recent second phase of the high-level revitalization forum. He also says targeted sanctions and an arms embargo will not shake the government or compel it to sign an imposed peace agreement. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Juba.
Nigerian authorities this week released two Cameroonian separatists who were detained by police last week. Meanwhile, fighting between Cameroonian forces and separatists from the country's English-speaking regions continues as curfews are imposed in certain areas. On October 1st, the secessionist groups declared their independence of Ambazonia in the English-speaking regions of Cameroon. Ambazonia Defense Forces Chairman Benedict Kuau spoke to Ricky Stryak about the ongoing struggle.
Right now, it just still the absolute brutalization of our people. We have been trying as much as possible to defend the villages, but it is, I think that the impunity with which and the ferocity without any regards to international norms on war that the government in the Republic of Cameroon is using is just overwhelming. They are absolutely making war on our civil population. We know why they are doing that. We know that they are trying to break the spirit of resistance of our people.
Do you consider what's going on a war?
It is. I would say war will be a generous interpretation of what they are doing, okay? War is going to be a generous interpretation of that. They are burning villages. They are burning people in their beds. Just the other day, a few days ago in Pua Bakutu, they burned the whole village, burned a woman in her bed, an old mom, 86-year-old, you know. In Kwakwa, it was Mami Api that was burned beyond recognition in her home. Now, I think a couple of months, the senior divisional officer, colonial officer for Manu, they call him Umtu Joseph, passed an order that asked more than 30 villages, told them in a few hours to clear the area, that they should, anybody that remains will be held culpable. We are seeing that playing out right now. They come into villages, they just burn the villages down. It doesn't matter who is there, they shoot indiscriminately. We have cases of women that are being discovered in the bushes, in the forest, that are dead, pregnant women who have given birth. It's a catastrophic situation that our people are facing.
According to the Cameroonian government, at least 30 soldiers have been killed since armed attacks from the separatists on the Ambazonia side began in November. Do you think that is an accurate statement, or do you think they're exaggerating those numbers, or are they higher than what they say?
At the moment, we are in active resistance, and I think that they are hiding that fact because we are taking a pinch out. We are confronting them in our towns and our villages. We had indicated to them that we will confront them every inch of our territory, and we are doing that. And if they are talking about 30, you might know that that is, I will put it at basically 10% of the losses that they have had.
That was Benedict Kuau, Ambazonian Defense Forces Chairman of Cameroon. He was speaking to Ricky Stryak from Minnesota here in the United States. The government of Uganda has launched an investigation into a wave of cyber crimes targeting mobile phone users. Frank Tumombazi, Information and Communication Minister, says the government will penalize telecommunications companies that still have unregistered SIM cards. The move comes at a time when police say criminals are using unregistered SIM cards to commit crimes. Mugumi Davis-Rakarish reports from Kampala.
Minister Tumwebaze says they will not leave any stone unturned in their quest to know how criminals are still using unregistered SIM cards. He says the inquiry will enable Ugandans to be able to communicate without fear of falling into danger.
I gave UCC 14 days. I am told they have also given notes to the affected telecom companies because you must follow the law to avoid being sued. We'll get to know the details of it. If it requires a detailed inquiry into the sector, we'll go for it.
UCC stands for Uganda Communications Commission, a government agency that regulates the communications companies in the country. One celebrated case that shook the nation this week was the gruesome murder of a woman in Kampala. Police investigations revealed that criminals used unregistered SIM cards to communicate with the victim, whom they kidnapped and later demanded for ransom before killing her. Emiliane Kaima is the spokesman of the Uganda police. He says, unfortunately, such cases are all too common.
We are investigating a case of two Chinese girls that were murdered, and there is evidence that there was communication between them and their parents that murdered them. We have had many people who have lost millions of shillings out of fraudulent deals that involve criminals that would wink their victims and end up cheating them colossal amounts of money.
He says other forms of cybercrimes include hate text messages and inciting violence. Ugandans engaged in SIM card registration exercise, which started in April last year and was initially meant to last for 1 week, but was extended several times because of public outcry. SIM card registration is the process of recording and verifying mobile phone numbers and personal information of a subscriber by a communication service provider. The information includes the subscriber's photograph, name, date of birth, gender, address, and details of valid identification documents. Tumwebaze says both telecom companies as well as individuals will be punished for violating Ugandan communication regulations.
The penalties for telecom companies are there. One, you can be fined money. Two, your license can be revoked. It's not a joke. It's really serious. But for us to do that, we have to be sure that the culpability is on the part of the telecom. Because it could be on the part of the person. If I went and got my number from the telecom using my ID, and I pass on my card to a criminal, there, the telecom company is not responsible.
They are estimated more than 22 million mobile phone users in Uganda. For VOA News, I am Mugume, Davis Rwakarinji, Kampala, Uganda.
The UN Human Rights Office is appealing for $278.3 million in voluntary contributions to monitor human rights abuses worldwide and help prevent violence. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from the agency's headquarters in Geneva.
The UN Human Rights Office warns of a global pushback on human rights. It says this is all too visible in the slowing commitment by governments to uphold human rights values in places such as Syria, Yemen, Democratic Republic of Congo, Burundi, and Myanmar. UN Office of Human Rights spokeswoman Liz Throssell says this lack of commitment translates into lack of support from the international community to provide the funds necessary to carry out the agency's important work. She tells VOA the agency's achievements often go unrecognized. For example, she says the help offered to victims of torture or other abuse usually occurs away from the blinding light of the media.
Through the voluntary funds that we have, 45,000 victims of torture were helped to be rehabilitated. Our colleagues who work in our 60-plus offices or field presences around the world monitored 567 trials. There's lots of training that goes on around the world, and maybe that is quite hard to sell as something sexy, but it's really important and fundamental.
Throssell says these training courses teach governments and civil society how to monitor human rights abuses, how to access justice, and how to set anti-discrimination standards. Currently, only 63 countries are making voluntary contributions to the Human Rights Office. Throssell says this list of donor countries needs to expand. She says Norway and other Scandinavian countries are pledging to increase their contributions. However, she says the word is still out on the United States, which traditionally has been the agency's biggest donor. The U.S. Congress is in the process of discussing the issue and will make a decision toward the end of March. Last year, the U.S. voluntary contribution was just over $20 million. This year, there are questions of how much Washington will contribute after the Trump administration in December announced a $285 million cut in overall U.S. contributions to the United Nations, a move the U.S. administration blames on inefficiency and overspending at the United Nations. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Briefly, before we leave you, a summary of Africa news. Nigeria's ruling All Progressives Congress, APC party, has reportedly endorsed President Muhammadu Buhari to run for re-election in 2019. The party's National Executive Committee Wednesday approved a one-year extension of all party executives. That's it for this Thursday, March 1st edition of Daybreak Africa. On behalf of the Daybreak Africa crew, I'm James Butte in Washington, wishing you in Africa a very good day.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, voters in Sierra Leone go to the polls on March 7th to elect a new president, parliament and local councils. President Ernest Bai Koroma is stepping down after serving two terms. His presidency faced the Ebola outbreak and allegations of corruption. An in-depth discussion on the most pressing issues facing Sierra Leone on the next Straight Talk Africa at 18:30 UTC. See.